Big time count. What B movie will be the ultimate champion? You might think they're crazy, might think they're diseases. But they watch all the shot to find the best of the beast. It's Stan, Jim, Jack, and Nick who watch till it's finished. But their love for these movies can be diminished. And maybe the film's plot has no rhyme or reason. But that's part of the charm, Owen Brad's of the season. The low budget film that it is most true. They find in the flick that's most boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo.
Gentlemen, start your engines, because we're driving off to China today. We got the Weird Man. And man, it's weird. This is the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo season. Is it season 9 I think we're on right now? It's absolutely crazy.
Eight. Season 8.
It's 12. It's too many seasons to get a handle on now. We are dealing with the Weird Man by Chang Che today in simply the U.S. And introduction, I am your host, Dan Stamadu, and I'm joined by my good friends, and I got Jack Hall in the house.
I thought you said good friend.
Well, and you, sorry.
Work friends.
You're my good work friends. Not my good luck friends, I'll tell you that right now. Jack, how are you?
I'm not really that weird, but a little strange.
Yeah, that seems fair. That seems fair.
Yeah.
All right. So what level of the strange meter are you, Jim?
I'm sorry, I was distracted. It's almost 4 o'clock and I have to hit Nick on the top of the head 3 times.
Ah, yes.
To get him to come back to his body.
That's right. Bring his spirit back in. Well, Nick, is your spirit back in your body enough to talk?
Yes, it is. Are you suffering from some sort of premature episodization there, as fan?
I'm already so excited to get to season 9 that it's just like, that's the problem. We make a decision on what season we're going to do, and it's just like, oh, fuck this season. Let's get to the next one. But no, here we are, season 8, and we're talking The Weird Man, and Nick, you're up.
All right. Yeah, I was watching this thing.
Please explain.
Dambala, bless you.
Yeah, explain in detail the first 15 to 20 minutes of the movie.
Okay.
With names.
After being visited by a priest, the regional governor of some sort of province in China, not the emperor, feels a need to consolidate power by gaining allies and bargaining, as well as assassinating some of the other regional governors that he feels is a threat. Now, the priest had warned him against this and told him to be kind to the people. However, this warning was completely ignored, and another priest just sort of shows up in his area and starts messing up his plans. Now, once this priest starts body swapping and general tomfoolery, I lost complete control of the plot from there. There is some sort of thing with the concubines. I did not understand it. It had to do with a whole lot of cross-dressing. Did not understand that bit at all, but according to the end, it was very important. the second priest is the titular weird man. We know this. Because he's weird. And he's got 5 loyal weird guards. But other than that, he's got superpowers that are never really defined, other than once he is killed, he can resurrect himself, but his loyal guards have to tap him on the head every day. I believe it's at noon. You said 4 o'clock, so I am now confused on that point as well.
They say 4 o'clock the first time, but they never do it again at 4 o'clock.
Yeah,
they do it at midnight.
Yeah,
and they do it at noon. So the first time when he explains the rules, he says 4 o'clock every day. Make sure I come back to my body. And then it's 4 o'clock, midnight, noon are the times it actually happens.
And by the way, I just like to point out, I'm pretty sure the part at the beginning there, which is the part that you seem to understand, was completely wrong.
Yeah,
I think that's what's important to state about this film. It's one of those ones where if all four of us gave even the first 15 minutes, all four of us would give a completely different story.
Yes. And so I do not want to give any recreation of that.
But it was a hell of a ride. I enjoyed every minute of it, didn't understand a word of it.
You should try with subtitles on, though. That helps.
I didn't watch it with subtitles because we didn't have a copy without subtitles.
This was a thing.
it had people in it.
I keep notes as I'm going through the movie, you know, funny lines or crazy things I saw. There's one note before the 20-minute part because I hit 20 minutes. I'm like, I haven't really written anything down because I don't know what's happened yet. The opening that the governor, I'm going to call him the governor because I think they call him like three different things throughout the movie. I watched a dubbed version, by the way. The governor is meeting with this monk, and the monk uses his kung fu to make oranges fly through the air.
Tangerines, but yes.
Tangerines. They're not a type of orange.
But yes, the subtitled version called them tangerines, but I could easily understand
completely different phylum.
Okay, I didn't know that.
I am just making shit up now.
All right,
yeah, please, so. because that I will come out the other side knowing something,
kung fu,
and understanding something.
If kung fu tangerine boogaloo. Yep.
How about Satsumas? Are they also like adult? So the governor cuts into an orange, totally empty. The monk cuts into an orange. He's like, hey, it's got stuff in it. What are you doing? And the monk, the governor cuts into another one and it's empty. And the monk goes, ah, this was a lesson. I wanted to show you how the people have no food. And then the governor killed him.
Oh, wow. See, that's crazy. That is totally different than the subtitled version.
Really? Yeah, that's awesome.
The governor gets to kill him.
He sends 300 warriors after him, and then 5 minutes, he's really upset, sends 300 warriors after the monk, and then 5 minutes later, they come back and go, well, he's gone, and he goes, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
That's the version we got.
And I did not...
Because the version, he said he was going to China after he warns resurrects the second monk, or the weird man.
And I did not get at all that it was a people have no food thing from the subtitled version.
How did the subtitled version go?
Honestly, I really didn't understand it. He was just showing
incredible recap than ever.
He was just doing magic tricks, pissing off Cao Cao, and then he disappeared. And like it's like, oh, how dare you? And then that was kind of it. It really, to me, made no sense whatsoever. But look at that. So the subtitles, they didn't worry about trying to let it make sense. In the dub version, apparently, they wanted it to make some level of sense.
Yeah, they're trying their best. Good luck. They're trying their best to make this make sense.
Now, I believe this is Chow Che's last theatrically released film. He was like 100 at this point. So... maybe we can read into that a little bit.
So I love the point where they're gonna execute the monk. They're gonna burn him alive. And one of the like the court monks or like the hangers on says, you know, this is bad luck. You can't, this is bad juju. You can't do this. And the governor says, like, I'm not superstitious at all. And they're like, but this day isn't auspicious. And he's like, oh, maybe we shouldn't then. Not auspicious. Oh, that's, but that is bad.
Yep, totally not in the subtitles.
I love it. I love that we saw essentially a totally different movie. Yes.
And I'd like to point out he did 11 films after this.
Oh, no. He's listed as he was listed as director on stuff well after his death. So,
well, yeah, I mean, the order he made them may be different than the order they were released.
Yeah. So he didn't die until 2002. So you know.
All right, so in the subtitle version, are they concubines?
Huh?
Nick said the women were concubines.
I have no idea. By that point I was just going,
no, one of them.
Are we going to get a, I thought the monk was going to have sex with Sun Chu there and using the ladies' bodies, and by that point I was just like, oh yeah, okay, I'm just going with this.
Yeah, no, the one of them was his wife. And one of them was her, and the other was her sister.
Right.
It is important to notice that is the smart strategy watching this film, is to say, I'm just going to go with this.
Yes, yes, for sure. It's true. Trying to read too much into it and actually explain it is going to hurt us in the brain. And we shouldn't do that.
So yes, the is it... I think at one point they call him Juti, but I don't know if that means like, if that was the guy's name or if it means ghost or something. At one point, the monk's spirit that's wandering can walk into people, take them over. It takes over the sister-in-law, and basically he's trying to cause chaos in the court by like the sister-in-law. Is it her sister or is it his brother's wife? I thought it was his brother's wife.
It's her sister in the subtitle version.
Or is it both? Is it both? Like, is it two both. Brothers that married two sisters?
Well, I know, but we don't see his brother then, so.
Because they make it clear that's what they're trying to do, is cause chaos between the two brothers. in the dub
no,
version.
No, no, see, yeah, see, that's not, that is, the subtitle version totally doesn't have that part in the story.
But that's the plan. That's his plan in the dub version.
Okay. That actually makes sense because this is based on Romance of the Three Kingdoms novel, which I only know from playing the video game on the Super Nintendo. But these are real life characters.
Yes.
So actually, I remember that being part of the story.
Yeah, because like the monk inhabits the sister-in-law to try to get her to have sex with the governor.
That he wanted her to have sex with him, just to lay in his bed, and then because then he brought in the other sister just to, you know, he's just having fun.
One way or the other, he's trying to cause chaos. Yeah.
Well, and what he wants,
whether he's going to go, like, maybe he doesn't want to possess her all the way through to completion. he may have wanted to bail on this plan at some point.
Well, he wants the dude to expend more energy, whether that's sex-wise, whether that's fighting, just, you know, so that he's not going to heal.
There is a manipulator in the background.
Yeah.
There is, you know, the guy being manipulated who's arrogant and powerful, but he's being manipulated, so you're supposed to feel some sympathy, I think, for him. And then there's the priest that, for some reason, when he's killed and has his... his spirit creature? Was that what the ghost is, essentially? Like his?
I thought it was just him. Like, I thought it was like,
no,
his own
spirit. They called it because there was a point where all his, well, again, different versions, but there's a point where his five students or whatever are sitting there saying, can we see your spirit, whatever?
Yeah, well, okay. What I took from the different version I watched was that that was what he will look like when he's reborn in his next cycle.
Oh, interesting.
I can't even, but I won't even testify to that as like, but yes, at one point his students do see a totally different looking him.
Because that's one of the things I don't understand is the priest, one of the things.
one of the many things.
After he's beheaded, and he's literally beheaded, you know, because they cut his head off, and then they show you a piece of, I don't know, wool with hair hanging.
Stapled to a cantaloupe.
Yeah, exactly. Later, so you know that's got to be him, because he's got the beard. So when he's back, is he back alive, or is that also a ghost?
After, no, you mean after his head rejoins his body? Yeah, so after that, he's not alive, because his spirit still has to come into his body. The hope is that after the 49 days of him training himself, that I believe that he will be able to fully mesh everything back together again at that point and become alive.
Good enough.
So does that explain the ending where he just jumps out at the screen and the credits roll? Does that mean he's alive?
Well, I don't know, because the weird thing about that is that at the very end, it clicks over to the 1-3 time zone, and they've missed the midnight one in the battle that when you're watching the subtitled version, that battle officially lasts 4 or 5 hours of them actually fighting in time. And then the sister comes up and pats him on the head 3 times and brings him back in at like 1:30 in the morning or something like that. So obviously, yeah,
she was late. I was confused by that as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. And he comes back in and it's okay. So I don't know.
In the dubbed version, he sets up the, and now I'm wondering, because he says 4 o'clock, but I don't know if they do actually say a different time in the subtitled. He says 4 o'clock, but he doesn't say he'll die. He says that he might go crazy if he doesn't make it back to his body periodically.
Okay, yeah.
It's just really, really bad.
Yeah, I think the subtitle version does say something about that, but nothing about the weird man is clear.
No, and now it makes total sense when you say 4 o'clock, and I'm like, wow, I don't remember that at all, because it didn't happen in our first.
But then it doesn't actually happen again. Like, he's like, it's the,
right, right.
Just but the first in, time he does it is the only time it happens at 4 o'clock.
But in the subtitled version, it says 12 and midnight.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So, wow.
That sounds good to me.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
We shouldn't be arguing about this, because they have freaking weird clocks in this movie.
Oh man, yes,
they do have really cool, like, it's they're water clocks.
Yeah,
But
honestly, yeah, that final battle
that have numbers hours. We can understand. Why are we confused about this?
Confused about anything? Obviously, we could just go read the historical novel and find out how this actually came back alive.
Oh, I'm sure I that think this the
simplest
is totally part
the
of it.
Simplest way to understand what happened in The Weird Man. Learn Chinese. And then
the beginning of this movie felt like we had stepped into episode 23 of Game of Thrones with no context.
Yeah.
Like, there's just all these characters. Like, there's hundreds of them. You can't tell them apart. I don't know what's happening. It's unbelievable.
And then they
but
actually
they're all
shift.
Nicely oiled.
They are.
Everybody in this movie has a thick coat of grease all over them. To highlight their muscles.
Well, the thing is, from the video game, the pictures that they had of the characters...
Really close. Look at
that. Yeah, exactly. They look almost the exact same, so...
Yeah. I was glad when they shifted into the actual, you know, like, lesser amount of characters, so... But it's still, even with the lesser amount of characters, like, I would have actually rather started the movie from there and tried to pick it up, because I think that watching the first 20 minutes of them trying to explain everything else, even once we boiled it down to, like, the 5 characters that we were dealing with, I was still so confused for about 20 minutes of that, where it was just like, so how does this work into what I just heard? Because I don't remember any of these characters' names.
Big problem is the first part here, you spend the rest of the film going, I'm convinced that monk with the tangerines must be important at some point again.
Mm-hmm.
He is not.
And he is not. He's not at all. Because I was thinking...
What you have to know about all Chinese movies, once a character says they're going to Japan or associated in Japan ever, they're gone.
That's it. They're just... They've exited the film, is what you're saying.
Yep.
Weird. And as somebody who's watched a lot of... I got to say this. Has watched a lot of Saw Brothers movies and Wushu movies. This is not, and I'm specifically pointing my finger at you here, James. This is not the gateway film I would have chosen.
that was, I think, the strain. I think the most noticeable thing for me is that it wasn't just that I wasn't understanding the film. It's like I didn't know the grammar of the film because the filmmaking is so different and the storytelling is so different that, that basic how film tells a story didn't fit for me. So finding ground to stand on was really tough. That said, I just want to go back. Does that like, if you tell your wife that, that her sister was possessed, does that get you out of that? If she finds you finds the two of you in bed together, you're like, oh, spirit. as a monk. Messing with us. We're gonna go with scoring.
Well, we can't explain anything else.
Things got quiet all of a sudden. Yeah. Is everyone else still here?
Still here. I'm still here.
Yeah, I don't think anyone else is. I think we're down there, just the two of us.
No, we're here.
Oh, you're here.
Okay. I'm just trying to calculate my scores.
Well, bless you for working ahead.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyone else have anything to add of the quote unquote plot?
The quote unquote
plot. I think the plot is largely doesn't matter. It's inconsequential. I mean, you can. I watched this movie not understanding a thing and had a hell of a time. So,
fair enough.
There was kung fu, and there was ghosts, and there was some
sort of... There wasn't enough kung fu.
No, there was not.
All the weirdness took away from the kung fu scenes that are usually so great in these movies.
Okay.
All right. Well, yeah. I mean, I found the kung fu... I was trying to explain the movie to someone, and I said, well, it's about this monk who has really strong kung fu, and he's having a conflict with this governor who has really strong kung fu. And they said, is there anyone in the film that doesn't have strong kung fu? I'm like, that's not really a thing.
No, that is not. That is the one thing what you'll understand about the grammar of these movies. Everybody has strong kung fu, no matter how strong.
it's a kung fu spectrum starting from strong to really strong.
Yeah. It's not about how strong your kung fu is. It's how well you dance with flaming swords.
That old idiom.
I could have used more flaming swords.
All right. To be honest. What movie can't we have said
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Exactly right. Yeah.
Not a movie that has ever existed. Citizen Kane could have used more flaming swords.
Yeah,
Cyborg Cop could have used more flaming swords. Yeah. That's for sure.
For sure. All right. In our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate each film in five categories, none of which are objective quality. The first category is called schlock appeal, and we start with Stan.
Well, I could have used more flaming swords. this is one of those cases where I was really desperately waiting for more of the sword play and stuff like that to come through. And so by the end, it was great. That last half hour has lots of it. It's really good. There's a lot of back and forth. Leading up to that, I was really struggling, attempting to get through the movie and find any real level of enjoyment in it. Some of the weird stuff, sure, is fine, but you know, weird kind of goes hand in hand with a lot of these movies, I think. So I can only go with a 6.
Yeah, I've seen some crazy kung fu movies, and this one is crazy, but it isn't unusually so. I'll give it a 6 just for The monk calling the rainstorm, I love that scene during his execution and his execution in general. That whole thing worked for me. So six.
Yeah, it's a strange film because, like you said, I mean, these Shaw Brother movies are all schlocky by our standards, but are they schlocky by the standards of people who, you know, lived in Hong Kong and at that time? I don't know. It's just a different style. So it's so hard to judge the schlock appeal of something like this, you know, because, I mean, we see somebody who's clearly 20 years old playing 70 with a really fake looking beard and long hair and bad makeup. And we think that's schlocky, but I don't know that it actually is in this context for them. So it's so hard to judge this. I'm going to give it a 7 because it is enjoyable schlock, but it's, I can't go higher.
Yeah. I think if you showed someone the trailer for this movie, it would seem like, yeah, let's get that on VHS on a weekend that it's kind of snowy out. So I think it wins on that and that alone. So 7 is also what I'm giving it. The next category is called More Heart Than Budget. And I don't know that we have a budget for this. Probably not.
No.
No, yeah, it's...
I don't know if you have a budget for any Shaw Brothers movie.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, I'm not terribly familiar with the Shaw Brothers, but I mean, you see it filmed in Shaw scope or whatever that it was and stuff like that. So, I mean, I know that
these sets are in basically all their movies.
Yeah,
like the sets you're seeing, they're basically repurposed slightly for every single one of their movies, and you know, I mean, it's a studio, so I mean, they spend a little money on special effects here, but it's. I mean, I don't think they had to do any of these with a lot of money. These costumes, I'm sure, even are you know, repurposed in a lot of ways.
Well, and
all the actors great. And contract things.
Yeah.
Like, everyone just shows up on Monday and says, what are we doing?
Yeah, and I think that you know, this is that kind of movie where it's done in that style, and there's going to be 8 more done in exactly the same style, probably more. So yeah, I find it very interesting. Like, one thing I will say is that I think that this movie is really well done from a directorial perspective and also from an editing perspective, because there's some, like, the changes back and forth between like the young spirit and the old monk, you know, when like they have to flip back and forth, the color changes to delineate the people. Like, I think that stuff's really well done. So,
well, that actual effect, wasn't that an in-camera when he was like a ghost form?
They put, it would be like a gel on the lights, you know,
that's not easy to do.
No, like, and that's why I say the directing is really spectacular, because they're able to like probably do a whole camera reset and put the gel on and stick the character in, and then bam, you know, there he is. So, I mean, that's a lot of work, a lot of effort going on there. So, you know, for me, I'll give it a 7 based on the fact that even though, like, it is a contract movie, which I would normally give lower, but I think that they actually worked really hard to make it look good.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. Chang Che, I mean, by this point, he wasn't in his prime. He was, you know, just trying to get a movie out, and he did an admirable job. I mean, this is a veteran at work, and I think a lot of the actors were probably very honored that he was coming back to do a film. So yeah, I'll go as high as a 7 on this.
In the midst of all those other films he did at the same time.
Well, you have to read about Chang Che's life. He was a master bullshitter. He was like the Stan Lee of movies.
Oh, okay. Well,
so you have no idea what he did and what he actually didn't do.
All right. Well, I can tell you this. He is certainly the most iconic of this season for B B-est of all the directors we've chosen. He's probably he is the most iconic. I mean, when you look at his history, his movies and their influence on cinema, you know, this one, not his best work, obviously, but still, I don't think any Shaw Brothers movie ever went in with not attempting to make a good film. The Shaw Brothers had a level, I mean, they're a legendary studio for a reason. So I'm going to give it a 7.
Seven across the board, then. Sevens for all of us.
That's our true rarity, that we can agree on more heart than budget. Like,
lucky number 7. All right. It's what the fuck moments. And good luck finding specific ones.
The one moment that I remember, officially saying to myself, what the fuck, was after the monk had his head cut off and the steam shot out of his neck, and then you saw the spirit jump out. But I thought there was another one jumping out at the same time. Like, I thought there was like a blue one and a red one. And so but at that moment, like, I did not know what I was seeing, and it was just like spoosh. Oh my god, I don't know what the hell's going on right now.
I hate when characters go spoosh in a movie. Yeah.
but so that part I actually said to myself, what the fuck? but otherwise, yeah, like, there's moments, you know, sure, like in the milk bath when his head rejoins his body. And then the end, for sure, was a what the fuck moment. That battle, you know, as they keep showing the clock, and it's just like, okay, so it's 7 to 9, and then it's 9 to 11, and then it's 11 to 1, and then it's 1 to 3, and I'm like, holy shit, this battle is taking 5 hours to get through. Like, no wonder nobody's killing each other, because they're tired. But
they probably took 5 hours.
Yeah, with only like 12 people, like in any of a movie here, they would be like, they'd be dead in 5 minutes. But I'm just tired looking at them. So yeah, I don't feel like, from a what the fuck perspective, it's like, wow, it's loaded with them, because this is a Chinese movie that is, you know, kind of typical. I don't think this is the weirdest Chinese movie of all time either. So
it's not. It's no. Not the weirdest. But I would say it's in the top 20%.
I'm still only going to go with a 6.
I understand what you're saying, and I'm going to throw out all the magic crap, because that is just weird. But it's magic crap. I can explain that away.
Yes.
What I cannot explain is the assassination attempt, where Su Kang, I think his name is Sun Kang, is shot by 5 arrows in the chest.
But it just annoys him.
And it just pisses him off, and he kills all his assassins.
Yeah, he just rips them out and just is like, that's really, now you guys have made me mad.
So yeah, I'm gonna go 2 higher for an 8.
Yeah, that's a I had even forgotten about that one, but that is such a good WTF, because after that there's the WTF that's like I say, but it's on. I think the thing is, when you take this character who's this Tao priest who is healing people and helping to feed them and giving them hope, and you decide to kill him and bring back his spirit character or whatever, future self, and it's like a playful Mr. Missileplex type imp, basically, for no reason that doesn't fit the other character. We don't know why he is has this personality, other than just to be weird, and that's what leads to all the weird things that happen. The two specific ones for me, and I'm sure at least one of these I know will not be, I'm sure, in the subtitle or in the dubbed version, but the first time he becomes the sister or whatever, when she's going away, and he becomes her, and he decides to, and then, like, he takes her out and becomes her or takes her over or whatever, and goes back to Sun Chi or whatever. The dialogue is, after he takes her over, is, good, now I look like a slut.
Yep.
Yeah. No.
Oh, that's awesome. That's magical.
Magical. That is a magical line that is just incredible to me. And the other one is when there's another priest who he decides, hey, all those women look pretty good. Hey, priest, how about we make you horny for them? The horny act, the acting of
Beyonce. Oh, yes. That's fair. That is fair.
That priest puts on, and he's doing this little dance, kind of thinking himself and getting all, and all the women are like, what's wrong with him now? What the hell's going on over there? And he's like coming towards them all creepy. That is incredible. I got
like a more like a Benny Hill scene than a than a sexy scene.
I got a seven sucker.
I think the couple of things that stood out for me were there's an opening kung fu montage that's kind of like a James Bond opening, like, you know, just fighting, and then like credits come up on the screen with like a just a red background.
It's common in Shaw Brothers movies, I have to tell you.
Is it? Okay.
Every Shaw Brothers movie does that.
So the spirity, the spirit djinn or whatever he is, like, that we didn't actually decide, is in the fight. And I called him Chinese Aladdin. That costuming was pretty awesome. At one point, there's a bunch of guards come in, and there's a big fight in the governor's area, and one of the guards accidentally ends up in blackface.
Yes. Another one with the white face. I don't understand that.
Well, I actually figured that out because I thought they were meant to be yin and yang.
Nice.
The two halves of the Tao symbol.
I agree with that.
Yep. Nice. Very symbolic.
Why?
All right, I'm taking one off because you gave me an adequate explanation.
Why not? Hey,
so seven is where I ended up there too. I did remove one because you explained something to me. that does make good sense. memorable moments.
God. Yeah, I've of course largely the story I've forgotten already because I didn't know it in the first place. I think I'm gonna probably remember some weird elements to it. I don't think it's gonna be a big memorable one for me. This is gonna blend in. The more that I watch any Shaw Brothers movies, I feel like this kind of thing is gonna blend in a lot. So I'm only gonna go with three.
Yeah, this one isn't that memorable. It's a Shaw Brothers film. There are much better examples out there. It's not one of my favorites. I enjoyed it, but am I coming back to it anytime soon? Am I going to think about this movie again? No. So I'm going to give it a three.
Oh, I'm a little higher. I mean, yes, okay, there's Shaw Brothers movies I've seen that I would give a 10 to in this category easily. And this isn't one of them, but I think that last fight scene, especially the part with the tassels, there was wrapping him up and all that, and I thought that was so cool and original, and I hadn't seen that before. So that sticks out to me, so I'll give it a six.
Whoa. Jack seeing the outlier in this. I haven't seen more Shaw movies, and I already don't remember much of this one. so only a two for me. Crazy concept is our final category.
Again, this one is just I don't know where to score it because I don't have a lot of experience with these type of movies. So it's like anything that I've read suggests that from a concept perspective, this is actually not that crazy overall. That you know, you can easily find crazier when you're going out there, and knowing that it's a Shaw Brothers studio production, and they probably can put into production whatever the hell they feel like. There's weird for me, so I'll give it a four based on the fact that it was weird for me.
Yeah, you're right. Four. I'm using the exact same argument you are.
I disagree then, because for me, I look at it and I say the weirdest ones are a 10, that come from these wushu movies, and this one is in the top 20%. And you really, if we broke, you're judging it based on other wushu movies. Judge it based on what you're used to. Three kingdoms are at war. A monk shows up, talks to a priest who can heal people, has magical powers, is beheaded, his head comes back, a bunch of our students who are master swordsmen who rarely use their swords in the movie for any reason, and an imp comes out, and for some reason the imp has no personality similar, this imp spirit character similar to the priest. And then there's your manipulator. Then there's your sisters and brothers, and I don't know what sort of incest going on or not or whatever. Like I come on, base it on not what you think a wushu movie is. Base it on its own merits compared to what you're used to, and I think it's got to be at least an 8. So that's what I'll give it.
All right. That makes the average 6. So that's what I'll call it for me. I think you all make compelling arguments. All right. Every season we have 6 secret modifiers. I have made the call that this one does not get the work for hire modifier. He made 100 films for this company. So he's not just turning up. They clearly had a close relationship. It does get a +1 because the director is also a writer on the film. Unfortunately, that means it gets the other handicap minus. It does come in under 60 before modifiers, giving it an extra -1. No, it comes in at 60.
That's 60,
like,
wow.
The charting was hard there. It comes in exactly at 60, 60 out of 100. It does not get the minus. I looked at the minus and like, well, that makes it 59. Now that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, so that's
now
right.
It gets a +1, so it's 61.
No. It is it is 60 even.
Yeah, there's no +1 for it.
There's no plus
+1. Yeah, for the writer director.
That's including the writer director.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very confusing way there.
It's on the edge. Technically,
it was such a cusp that I thought the handicap was going to affect it, but it didn't.
Because I think technically the spirit of the handicap.
That wasn't a mistake. That was Judy. Had possessed me while I'm trying to do the scoring.
Like the spirit of the handicap said before.
Just a dead monk messing things up.
Like normally before you add any of the modifiers, if it's lower than 60, then it should get the minus, but whatever. If it's close enough, it's close enough. I don't care.
What I'm saying, I want to know what other movies where does that place it? We're at 60. Where does it?
60. What's
the bear?
That puts it exactly between Planet of the Vampires at 59.5 and Dracula versus Frankenstein at 61.5.
Perfect.
Yeah, it makes sense in that regard. Like there are movies that you can enjoy watching, but at the same time, like in the case of Dracula versus Frankenstein kind of thing, that then you can find better of those. But at the same time, it's also kind of good in its own way. Like yes. I can see the quality level. So, right. All right. Well, I think we've. I think we've beaten this down now.
That horse ain't dead.
No. Okay. The next movie that we have coming up is State Park, a.k.a. Heavy Metal Summer by Rafal Zelinsky. And he's been a favorite on this show before. So, Jim, let's do some business.
Yeah. I just want to say State Park, I know Stan. The second you discovered it on Tubi, the second you discovered it, and then
period.
Extra one
yep.
discovered it on Tubi, you've been dying to find a way to get this into the show.
That's right, and I didn't even put it in the show, which was the best part. So
that's true. This was my pick.
That's right.
We are on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, and also for everything else, visit our podcast sponsors, We Talk Podcasts. And WeTalkPodcast.com is the home of the Octagon, the ongoing record of our search for the ultimate B-movie, searchable by category. Take you to every episode we've done up till now. And they are also on Facebook and on Twitter, We Talk Podcasts.
Excellent. Well, so thanks for joining us for The Weird Man by Chang Che as we carry on season 8, not 9 or 12, as I was maybe thinking, simply the B-est. And of course, next episode, we have State Park or Heavy Metal Summer, whichever you prefer. It's State Park on Tubi, so that's the easiest way. So, for Jim, and for Jack, and for Nick, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo!
It's Priest Yu Chi. He comes from the East. He's been working miracles among the poor, healing the sick. They worship him as if he was God.
Cut off his head and display it where everyone can see.
My death is but a passage. It is not death in the mortal sense.